Our lesson tonight is out of Mark chapter 4, verses 21 to 29. Christ's work of telling believers how to become productive in Scripture. We learn in our first lesson in this series that Mark's gospel presents the perfect service of God's perfect servant Jesus, with Mark's focus of having rebounded onto upright Christian service from personal failure. We saw in our last lesson that all such failure, according to Jesus' Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 20 parable of the sower, in light of the Mark 3, 20 to 35 context, rises from one's heart being unproductive soil for God's word. You'll remember that Jesus had interacted with his family. They were believers, but they weren't that strong, and they had come to take custody of him because they thought he was beside himself because he was skipping meals in order to do ministry. Then he'd run into the scribes who, you know, really opposed his ministry and felt that he was operating by means of Satan's power. That's, you know, representative of the hard ground upon which the seed had been sown, but Satan came and in the form of the birds and took the seed away. And then there were people who were godly, who were really responsive to Christ, and they were around him, and they were like those who were bearing 100-fold. So he had these different responses. So Jesus gave the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower actually should be renamed the parable of the grounds, because the seed's the same, the sower is the same, but the grounds are different. And that's why there's a difference in yield, demonstrates good ground versus hard ground. Well, Jesus in Mark chapter 4, 21 to 29 supplied invaluable information on how believers might become productive spiritual soil, and hence productive in the Scripture as to knowledge and maturity. A person will grow in his relationship with the Lord to the degree that he grows in his responsiveness to the Word of God and his application of the Word of God in his life. So it's very, very important that he get a hold of this. Well, let's look at the passage and then we'll study it. Mark chapter 4, verse 21 through 29. And Jesus said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set upon a candlestick? For there's nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should become abroad. If any man has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, Take heed what you hear. With the measure that you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that has, to him shall be given more. And he that has not from him shall be taken even that which he has. And he said, So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow, and he knows not how. For the earth brings forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full grain or corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth immediately, that's the farmer, puts in the sickle because the harvest is come. Okay, three parables, and they all have to do with responsiveness to the Word of God. First of all, following his parable on the sower, on the various responses of men to Scripture, depending on how fertile was the soil in their hearts, Jesus gave three parables on improving one's soil. You can actually improve the soil of your heart so that it becomes more responsive to the Word of God. First, the first parable is the parable of the candle. It calls us to be receptive of what we hear of God's Word, as eventually the degree of one's receptivity will be exposed for everybody else to see. Jesus taught that a candle is never meant to be hidden, but set on a candlestick for everybody to see. Thus, what truth from God's word a believer hears becomes a light in him that is readily evident to onlookers, meaning it is imperative that a believer heed the word he hears and not be like the hard ground, that he not get offended at trials that arise after he first learns of God's truth, that's referring to Mark 4, 16 and 17, and that he avoid worldly sin nature lusts that only choke out the truth that he has. Why? Because if you let the truth be choked out, or if you have the cares of this world, or if you hard your hard ground, everybody else around you is going to know it. They're going to see it. And if you don't want to be embarrassed, if you don't want to be humiliated, the idea is you'll make sure that your ground is soft and pliable so that the Word of God can get in there, and that it's strong so that the growth can occur. And then you mature. And if you mature, you'll be honored. So there's sort of a subtle warning in here. You've got to be very careful, because if you don't watch your heart, eventually it will demonstrate itself and everybody else will see your immaturity. The second parable of the measure motivates us to be hungry, to learn God's truths. For our heart will either grow or have what we know lost through Satan, the world, or the sin nature. In other words, there's the principle here, nobody is standing still. It's like a cat on a hot tin roof. You know, the cat's either sliding down or he's going up or something. Nobody stays still. I have never seen a Christian over a prolonged period of time stay still in his walk. He's either progressing or he's regressing. And the same thing happens in my own life, so we have to watch out for it. The appetite one has for God's word, signified in the measure that is used, determines how much of the word he actually understands, applies, and sees productive, produce maturity in his life. Verse 24, take heed what you hear. See, the hearer, the burden's on the hearer. Take heed what you hear with the measure that you meet. In other words, the size of the cup that you put out, that's just how much you'll get, and you'll get just a little more. Because if you're pouring seed into a cup, normally there's just a little bit of a cap more. So if you put a little tiny cup out there, that's all you're going to get. If we pull out a gallon jug, even more. Pull out a 5-gallon thing, you're going to get even more. Okay, hopefully you can get 50-gallon drum, pull it out there, and you'll get that much more. It's very, very true. The degree to which we pay attention to the Word of God is what we go. When I was at Dallas Seminary, we had an assignment given to us by Dr. Howard Hendricks. We were to look at Acts 1:8. Remember, Acts 1:8 says, but you shall be witnesses, both Jerusalem, Judea, the ends of the earth. And so he said, look at Acts 1:8. I want you to come up with 25 observations, 25 truths that you can find in that verse. And we were shocked. Well, what in the world is he talking about? I don't think there are 25 words in that. But we went to work and we studied, and sure enough, we came up with 25. And we came back to the next class after having wrung our hands out. And he said, did everybody get 25? We said, yes. He said, all right, you have another assignment. Next week you have to come up with 25 different ones. One's different from what you have. 25 more theological truths. We had to do it again. We'll come back the next week. Believe it or not, we had 50. He says, fine, do this again. You have to have another. They have found over 150 different theological truths in that verse. And you can find these truths. Sometimes it's the word but, and it fits the context, so you have to go that way. But this was used to whet our appetite. And he said, gentlemen, I want you to know the Word of God, it's written by an infinite author, and it's written for us. You got to study. You got to dig. You got to get at it. So there's truth that is available. And I learned from that, the size of your cup will determine how much you take. So, regarding the intake of Scripture, this matter goes to extremes. If we would be receptive of it, we will be given more by the Lord. But if we have not heeded what we have, Satan, the world, and our own sinful natures will erode what we have to our harm and embarrassment. There have been times when I've been involved in talking with Christians or maybe giving counsel, and the Christian will say, you know what? I used to know that, but I forgot. I forgot. And if I'd known that I could have avoided this trial or avoided the bad decision that led to this trial. I forgot. So I said, well, you need to stay in the Word. Very, very important that we grasp, because if we don't keep having an increased appetite, what we have we're going to forget, or the evil one will see to it that it's taken out of our lives. Then the third parable of the seed growing slowly motivates us to be patient in learning and applying God's word to see it become productive in our lives. For spiritual productivity ultimately takes time. Sometimes a believer may be motivated to learn God's truths because he realizes everybody else may one day publicly know how much he's absorbed. And he may also have a big appetite to absorb much of God's word as he can, lest he lose what he has. But even these motivations may initially seem futile because the believer fails to see any productivity in the short term. Someone may say, you know, I've been studying the Bible a lot the last 2 days, but I haven't learned that much. Hey, Miriam over here has a greenhouse. And I doubt very much that Miriam can go and look at the plants in the greenhouse and actually see them with her naked eye grow. I mean, you look at it, blink, open your eyes, it looks like the same little plant. But when she goes to bed and wakes up the next morning, hey, she sees a change. Maybe there's a third little leaf or something. And after a while, these things grow like crazy. The plants that she gave us in our garden, in fact, one of the tomatoes has taken over the tomato next to it. It's taken over the cucumber that's next to that, and it's still going. And it's, you know, I mean, even though there's some moss or there's some disease that's gotten hold of the plant at the bottom end, the top end is still going. And I don't know if it's going to keep going, but it's going to be quite a mess to clean up this fall. But it's producing berries. In fact, one day, these cherry tomatoes or berry tomatoes, I picked 38 of them. And just in one picking, they were all that ripe, and they'd been going every day. But that didn't happen overnight. That took a long time. So an additional important principle needs to be applied for success to occur, that of consistency. Jesus taught that the kingdom of God is like a farmer casting seed into the ground and not seeing it immediately spring up to produce a crop that is fit to be harvested. Indeed, the farmer must sleep and rise night and day, day after day, for some time before the seed even begins to grow in a way that he himself cannot actually see if he simply stares at it. Over time, the ground produces first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. And finally, when the ear ripens, the farmer immediately puts forth the sickle and he harvests it. This principle applies to growing in the Word of God. Besides the motivation to be seen by others as productive and not barren, and besides a hunger to learn lest we lose what we have, we must consistently stay motivated and hungry to become productive in the knowledge and use of God's Word. This happened in preparing this message that I had prepared this morning in Revelation. Remember that whole incident there about Gabriel, the angel Gabriel with the altar of incense, and how that dovetails in with this? I had been looking at the passage for a long time, and I think it was on Thursday. It was the day before the last day when I was supposed to correct or do any work on the sermon notes that I had. And I happened to notice that these angels stand in the presence of God, and that rang a little bell in my head. I said, I remember hearing that phrase somewhere. Where did I hear that phrase? Check the scriptures, and sure enough, here is Gabriel who said, I stand in the presence of God. I checked, the Greek words were the same. So I thought, wow, I wonder if there's a match. And yes, there was, because Revelation 8, we're talking about these angels. They're standing in the presence of God. You also have the golden altar of incense. Gabriel appeared to Zechariah by the golden altar of incense. And I found the match. It was just amazing. But that was just after I went back and looked at the scripture for the umpteenth time, and it hit me, just like a sledgehammer. I told Nadine, I said, I'm going to have to go back and reworked the sermon because I just found something new. But that takes time. I've looked at that sermon and at those notes over and over and over, but it wasn't until Thursday that I caught it. There has to be consistency if we're going to be productive. So the lesson is, if we believers are motivated to mature by God's word, knowing others will eventually see how far we have come. If we are hungry to learn that we not lose what we have, and if we stay this way, we are headed for blessed productivity. But if we do not care to learn, if we're not hungry, or if we are slack and caring and hungering for the Word of God, we will be humiliated and unproductive to our loss of blessing. So may we believe in Jesus Christ for salvation if we haven't done so. And then as believers, may we grow in Him by heeding His instruction and warnings in the parables of the candle, the measure, and the seed growing slowly. Today, after the morning worship service, I was in the fellowship hall chatting with people, and I looked up and I happened to notice that the light was on in the library, but I didn't see anybody there, so I waited for a while, and the light was still on, so I thought, well, maybe I better go turn it off. So I went in there, and I looked around the corner, and Mr. Brunetti was in the room between, you know, the two rooms. He was in that area, and he was looking into the other area. So I went in there, And I saw Mr. Dave Slate was in there, and then my son-in-law, Craig Allen, they were in there. They were looking at a book. And come to find out that Craig was interested in seeing the picture of that demon that we talked about in the message in volume 2, page 94 of the Zondervan Pictorial Encyclopedia. He was trying to get at it, and Dave was looking under locust. And I mean, I don't know, they were trying everything. So I said, well, didn't you get the reference that we had in the sermon? And Craig says, well, I don't have my notes with me. So I made a little jog over to my notes, and I found out it was volume 2, page 94. So I came jogging back, and I said, it's volume 2, and they were in volume 2, but I said, page 94. They went to 94, and I said, there's the picture. There's the front, and there's the back end of the thing. And they were looking at it. I remember Dave saying, well, that's a pretty mean-looking bugger, you know. It was kind of an irony-looking little thing. But I was amazed. My son-in-law has such an appetite right now, and we're really thrilled to see this, for the Word of God. If there's something new like this, he wants to know. And he didn't know we had a library back here until, I don't know if Mike Brunetti or Dave or who, somebody had talked to him about it. So he now knows that there's a library back here. So next time we quote something, he's going to dive back to our library and use it, which is really exciting. I think there's this type of thing, and of course it was exciting for me to see two of our deacons involved in helping this relatively new believer grow in the Lord, because there's the individual right now, is his appetite is there, he's hungry, he's absorbs everything he can, and it's really good that he be fed properly the truth. But this is what God wants us to do. He wants us to have that hunger, that high level of motivation. So if there's something that we hear that we don't quite understand, we just start digging. We go after it. And don't just say, well, that someday I'll know. When I get the glory, I'll know. Sometimes God wants us to know before we get the glory, you know. So he wants us to do a little digging, a little work, because we'll be blessed and we'll have something to share, and we'll grow in our own relationship with Jesus Christ.